Good morning, everybody. It is just after 6 o'clock on the 15th of August, and this is our last Friday show in this incarnation. From next week, we go to 3 hours on a Friday, and it's going to be an absolute smorgasbord of stuff. We're going to be bringing in all kinds of people, lots of fun, lots of humor, lots of stupidity, you know, live stuff. And I think we are still the only podcast in the country that does this stuff live. So, you know, there are plenty of reasons for you to tell your friends and your enemies about what we're doing and bring them to join the party. And to guide us through the next 2 hours, you and me and Ben.
Yes, yeah,
Ben. Hello, Karpinski. Yeah. How are you?
Look at me. I'm in golf gear today because today's a special day, Gareth. I get to go from the show to go play golf.
But, Ben, that happens quite often, doesn't it?
It doesn't actually. No. See, this is a big misconception because I create golf content.
People think you play all the time.
I don't play a lot of 18-hole rounds. This year's been terrible like that. My handicap's gone absolutely into a bad place.
I heard about a guy who is, he's very, very important at one of the banks. And apparently his staffers went and looked up how often he plays golf. And he plays at minimum twice a week.
Well done.
Brilliant. I mean, I do admire the...
And that's the kind of person you want running banks.
Well, is he running the banks?
You know? Still employed.
Listen, Donald Trump plays golf and he orders bombing on Iran while he's on the 8th hole.
I should have got a picture about this, but you know there's Air Force One and then there's the big cavalcade card, whatever it's called.
The Beast.
The Beast. He's now got a golf cart version of that. Seriously, I should you not.
Sounds awesome. See if you can look that up, guys.
Probably to...
Trump's golf cart.
Probably to further inflame all those lefties in Scotland.
I'm sure, yeah.
Because you know he's got golf courses in Ireland and Scotland
all
around.
Yeah, in fact, he summoned Keir Starmer, who's the Prime Minister of Britain. He summoned him to his golf course. It's better than if the king summons you to Buckingham Palace. It's like another country's president has emasculated Britain to such a degree. And this is not Trump's fault. This is Britain's fault for being such an emasculated place in the first place, right? He summons him. He's like, "Hello, Keir. It's Donald. I'll be at my golf course at half past seven tomorrow. You better be there. I'm not coming to London. London is terrible. Terrible, terrible place. You got that horrible mayor. He's an awful mayor. I'm staying here. You can come up and see." And Keir Starmer is such a little pussy. He gets on his little, I don't know, fucking toothpaste tube-sized Prime Minister One, or whatever it's called. And he buzzes up to Scotland.
Vauxhall Vectra.
Whatever. Yeah, it's probably got like a, I don't know, a rotary engine or something. And he gets in there and then he lands and then he probably gets on one of these buggies and in his blue suit. And then he drives off to meet Donald Trump and pay his obeisances. It's fantastic.
So, yeah, I think to further inflame the public around there, because they're always boycotting or protesting outside
there's
of the golf
like,
courses.
There's always unattractive women with their tits down to their knees, with placards, a.k.a. Greta Thunberg style, complaining about... I mean, and Trump doesn't give a shit.
No, of course not. The only people he doesn't see it.
Did you see that interview? I don't know if you saw this.
Can I make my point about this golf cart?
Oh, for God's sake. Yes, let's hear about the golf cart and see if you've got a picture of that
but
in
Gareth,
the meantime.
It's the reason I brought up this fucking story, is that he's now on, he's opening these golf courses, and then he's got the temerity to then bring this fucking Batmobile golf club thing to further piss people off. Because you know, he's got like, when he plays golf, there's 50 cars around him. The course basically closes. Because you've got the CIA.
But he still plays golf.
Exactly. And then he's got this armored golf car, which just cruises around this idyllic Lynx. Like, the Lynx is natural, right? And then you've got like this thing.
Monstrous. Just, how has it got like 8 wheels?
It's big. It's so comical. Sorry, it wasn't in the show prep. You've got to see a picture of this thing. It looks like, it really does look like Batman's car is made into a golf cart. It's black, of course, as well.
So you're going to play this morning, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to play in Irini.
Oh, nice. Well, good luck with that river.
Well, it's low. It's only in summer where it's high.
The smell. It's not that. I live on it. It's just the river. I don't live in Irini, but I live on that river. It's revolting.
Probably because it's more stagnant and smellier in winter.
Yeah, you'll need... Yeah, like in the Middle Ages and in the Renaissance, the women of the royal court would have to wear flowers all over their dresses, actual flowers, because the stink of their bodies was so bad. I mean, men smelt even worse.
Well, French still do that.
The French still smell, yes. But to go back briefly to this Trump golf thing, I don't know if you saw that clip. There's a recording. Some guy from GB News or whatever went to interview a whole bunch of people on, like, I don't know if it was a Free Palestine, because that's the flavor of the moment thing. And he could not find one person who wasn't abusive, rude, threatened physical violence, actually started enacting physical violence.
Weird that.
Yeah, and you think to yourself, just first of all, what kind of people are drawn to these causes, right? These are clearly people whose own lives are in complete disorder and disarray. Because I can think of 500 things I need to do if I'm given a day, a free day. I have to fit all of this stuff into that free day, like most of us. Most of us work, right? And then you've got to do all those 100 things. You don't have time to go to a protest.
But this is the beauty of a mob, and why you can rile them up so easily, is that they don't have these things.
Yeah, well, they're entirely emotionally
completely
irascible, right? So you can set fire to those emotions, because those emotions are such tinder wood. You can very, very easily create a blaze just by prodding it in the slightest direction. These are the kind of people who get upset and storm out of restaurants and
constantly on call, constantly on
fights,
queue.
And yeah. Have fights with people and shout at call center people on the phone, and the worst kind of people.
Reactionary, really. Horrible people, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so your weekend, you're starting with some golf, which is excellent.
Gareth, it's one of the best sporting weekends. There's Donald's car there.
Oh, that is revolting.
And it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
It's almost like a golf bucky. That's way worse than I expected it to look.
I know. That's the thing. It's so grotesque.
Horrible thing. That's really bad. Does anybody like that? Is there anyone in the audience who's looking at this now going, yeah, I would want one of those.
But again, like, the whole thing about the Scottish links is that you only walk. There's never carts on a links golf course, because it's just it's flat, it's natural, it's beautiful, and there he is in that thing.
Mm-mm. All right, so you said it's going to be a good sporting weekend. Let's get straight into that.
It's pretty much the best sporting weekend. I know there's other weekends in the year that maybe have World Cups, or, you know, obviously there's Olympics and those kind of things.
Sure.
But this weekend, sports-wise, is just off the charts with nothing but quality. It's just quality from start to finish.
So what do we got? Some rugby?
Let's start with the rugby. Okay, so rugby championship starts. And as you know, rugby championship is the Springboks taking on the All Blacks.
Right.
And then Australia and Argentina also play. I know that sounds disparaging, but that's kind of how it goes.
No, well,
it's between those two who are going to win it.
Right.
But I really feel like this year's rugby championship is going to be super competitive. Obviously, it all hinges on a couple of key junctions of where that's going to be. The first key junction is if Argentina can somehow be competitive and good at home. Because the first two matches, they've got New Zealand at home.
Mm.
New Zealand got a very much full-strength team. All the big stars are back. They think this is their best side. It's going to do battle. That game Saturday, 10 to midnight, because it's in Argentina.
Okay.
And if they can somehow do well there, then they go home to face the Springboks with the tail between the legs kind of thing, and then they'll be firing to get some points there.
So in a way, we're also hoping that happens.
Yeah, I want that, because Argentina is strong. Right. Then you've got Australia, probably looking the best they've looked in quite some time. I know they lost the Lions series. They were always going to.
Yeah.
But they're starting to really get some good players together. If they can just get lucky with injuries, again, they're more competitive than they've been for a long time. Granted, low bar, Aussies don't like rugby union. This is the sport that only 40 yokes kind of play.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. People don't realize that about Australia. I mean, it's a big country in terms of landmass, but it's actually not a big population. And most of the people who watch rugby don't watch the rugby we watch.
No. Rugby league, which is an odd game where you sort of hump the ground and don't play with flanks. People play that more. And then, of course,
Is that more popular with what we would call bogans?
I just think rugby union in Australia need to grow up and make the shorts shorter, because Australian men gravitate towards tiny shorts.
Oh, really?
So you've got Aussie rules,
tiny
shorts.
I thought it was rugby only league, our Afrikaners shorts. Who like their very short shorts.
No, the Aussies do as well.
Do they have?
We're very close like that. Okay. But rugby union, you know, they've got normal size shorts, and they wonder why they're not attracting the alpha males of their society. Like, I mean, guys, come on. I mean,
so
why do we have all the answers?
Would you almost judge the
prevalence of testosterone and equate it, correlate it, in fact, to the shortness of the shorts?
Yeah, I think in general life, if you want men to do something that's rigorous, difficult, challenging, look at the length of their shorts.
Right, because long shorts would get in the way.
I just think long shorts also shows that you've shown the white flag to masculine energy.
You basically bared your ass.
You're basically saying, "I'm not, guys, I haven't got this. In case of emergency, not me."
Right.
That's what long shorts means.
Okay. All right, so anyone who's thinking, because summer's just around the corner, anyone who's thinking of improving their image, maybe
shorts, guys.
trying to be a little more vital out there in the real world. Guys, you heard it from Ben. There's some unsolicited fashion advice.
So, yeah.
Get the shorts shorter.
So we've summed up Rugby Union Australia just by short length.
Right.
Which then brings us to the two favorites. The Boks are the Boks. The bookies somehow have the All Blacks going to the tournament as slight favorites because they've got the Springboks at home.
Well, where is this being played?
So the Southern Hemisphere.
No. Where is this Bok game?
Well, I'm getting to it in a second. I'm just giving you the overview about these four teams.
I'm just trying to get some geography here because you've taken us to Argentina.
Yeah. So, again, like the whole key games thing. So, the Boks are away to New Zealand this year for two tests back-to-back. So, that's what people say give them the edge. But there's another thing about touring is that Oaks dig it.
Yeah, of course.
Because they get away from their families. It's fun. They're with their mates. And that's what this team is. They're a bunch of mates. The culture's fantastic. So, I don't see it as a disadvantage. I think when you make these guys more razor focused by saying, "No team has won at Eden Park since 1994. Our guys are going to be like, fucking hold my brandy.
Right.
We're in. We're going to make this happen. So I think New Zealand are in for more hurts. The Aussies are going to be plucky, yet fall flat. And Argentina, you never know with these Oaks. That's the thing. Latin blood. With them,
unpredictable.
With them, take away the shorts. They're above short logic. They just mull. They're a little bit mull. I mean, this isn't the Open Voices podcast, but Argentinians, Latins, they're a little bit mull, and they are fiery. So they're either going to do well or fall flat. This weekend's pivotal to that. So, yeah, this weekend's matches, the Springboks are playing Australia, Ellis Park.
Okay.
Plane flyover, massive kiss, overpriced tickets.
We never get sick of that plane flying over Ellis Park shit, huh?
We don't.
It's like some of the people who watched that game in 95 are dead, and yet the idea, the imagery consistently brings forth happy feelings.
But another thing is, the average, I'd love to do a test on this, the average Springbok fan walks into Ellis Park after 7.5 drinks. So you fly a plane over, I don't know.
They think it's magic.
Get
it's
a like, horse on the roof. Yeah. Oaks are going to go.
It's like Phoenix is over exactly. Hogwarts. Yeah, got you.
So that's the big game. The Boks have got a pretty much full strength team. It's just Damien D'Alendi and Chesney Colby have got niggles, so they're out. Andre Esthazen and Edwell Funimova come in. Otherwise, great team, great bench. The Aussies, again, good side, but James O'Connor, who was a boyish kind of heartthrob 15 years ago, they've turfed him out of somewhere. He's 35, coming out of the abyss. He'll be their fly half. But they've got a good team. Valentini, unfortunately, is not playing for them, who's their best forward and a charismatic loose forward. But they've got big timber like Will Skelton, who weighs 145 kilograms. But because he weighs 145 kilograms, he can only last 60 minutes.
Right. Substantial, but not great on stamina.
He's pup off. They've got to bring him off. Yeah. They've got to bring him off. And then he just falls into a heap, and then they
resuscitate him with food
next week. So Rugby Championship, massive. That's the big thing. But then we've got MTNH's semi-finals as well. So I will have to go to my notes for this one because there's two matches. I don't want to discredit the other match.
Well, while you're going to your notes, let me read this from Herman, who says, Ben, and this is both a compliment, Ben, and a tremendous insult. So just steady yourself. Herman says, my father, Professor Johan Cook, and I watched your John Smith special yesterday.
Nice, good call.
Which is excellent. I advise anyone to do so. He says, fucking awesome. That's how he describes it.
Thank you.
He also says, thank you. Again, compliments all around, right? Then he says, don't know how you organized him to come to your show. Not such a compliment.
Well,
where do we take this comment from Herman? How do we begin in the comment section today?
Herman, thanks, but at the same time, shove it up your ass. Look at the previous shows. We get good guests in the studio here because we are looking to provide the greatest sports show. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy a lot more episodes. And when you go back,
look at him there in a hoodie. Gotta be cool.
Herman, just go back. See the other episodes too. And there's more high profile guests coming.
All right, Herman, keep those comments coming. I like it.
So, MTN8, okay, I know it's early season for the local domestic football.
Yes.
But we've already got the semifinals at MTN8, so that's the best eight teams from last year in the log.
Okay.
They're playing this big bonanza where there's 10 million rand on.
Hence the eight part of MTN8.
You missed nothing, Gareth.
I'm ready sharp
so at this. So tomorrow we've got Pirates versus Sundowns in an incredible match because Pirates have started the season obviously chasing Sundowns, as is always the script.
Yes.
But they've lost two in a row. They've got this new coach that's come in who has made wholesale changes to the team. He keeps tinkering with the team. He's leaving stalwarts on the bench or out of the squad completely.
Has he been threatened with imminent death yet?
It's coming.
By fans?
This weekend could be that weekend. Because if they lose to Sundowns and they're already out of this tournament, they've lost three out of three straight away.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Sundowns is Sundowns, so you know they're going to be bloody great. That 3 o'clock tomorrow, huge game. And then 6 o'clock tomorrow, Sekhukhune versus Stellenbosch. Another huge game. These two teams have been thereabouts the last few seasons, really strong teams.
Okay.
So local football is huge. And then
I'll take your word for it.
Perhaps, Gareth, perhaps for many people, the biggest thing this weekend is the Premier League starts. So right now, I know James is getting engaged and all that kind of stuff, but he's going to take a break.
Let's just pause for a second there. Flex, have you spoken to James this week?
Yeah.
You have, okay. Any word? Did he take the girlfriend with to meet the parents?
Yeah, she does.
She is with him. Okay, so Ben may be onto something here because
we established that
every time you would go away with a girl the entire history of this show, people would say, he's going to go and get engaged. That always was the thing, right?
I know, now you're the one dishing it out.
Okay,
exactly.
So
James is going to take a break from grazing knees this week because the first game of the Premier League is his team, Liverpool.
Yes,
they're at home against Bournemouth, so that's tonight, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Really big game. And then, of course, Aston Villa, Newcastle tomorrow, also a big one. Newcastle, I mean, who knows what they're doing with their major star, Isak. They're taking on Aston Villa, who will be very good this year, I think. They're a dark horse team. They showed some glimpses last year, and they're so under the radar this time round that I would say they'll do pretty well.
All right.
Fulham versus Brighton, another big one. Spurs versus Burnley, that'll be at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
I can't wait. I mean, especially put that in my calendar.
I know, because you're a Spurs fan. Yeah. Wolves hosting Man City, Chelsea versus Crystal Palace, and then as we get into the big one, the huge one for the weekend, Man United versus Arsenal. Sunday.
All right.
5:30. If you're in Joburg, come to Benchwarmers. Sandile, that's his team.
Right.
Arsenal, that's my team.
And your team. Yeah,
and we're going to square off for that one.
Very good. So you'll be hosting an impromptu get together of football.
Look, we'll be there the whole weekend. So if you want to come for the rugby, you want to come to the football, come join us. But perhaps most importantly, UFC 319, Dricus du Plessis versus Khamzat Chimaev.
Yes, I was asked about this. Someone asked me about this, and I said, why are you asking me? What do I know?
Well, what I can tell you, Gareth,
I did tell them to come and listen to you this morning, though. So they're probably, whoever this person was who walked up to me the other day in public and said, what do you think Dricus' chances are? And I said, I have no idea. But here's your answer.
Here it is, guys. And I'll try and make it brief because, of course, I've already spoken so much about the sport today. But this is the fight of the year.
Ben, some people just come for that.
Great.
Don't apologize.
I'm here for it.
Some people could give a shit what I have to say. They come for the sport.
I could give you 20 minutes on this, but I'll make it brief. This is the fight of the year.
Oh.
So I don't care if you've got beef with someone from high school and you're about to clock in one at a bar this weekend. Or if it's some high-paid boxer, it all pales into insignificance. This is the fight. This is the combat sport moment of the year, Dricus versus Khamzat.
Really? That big a deal.
It's
there
that
it is.
Big of a deal. Now, the UFC's gone up and down in recent times. They've had some pretty iffy cards, and this card itself isn't great. But as title fights go, you've got Dricus, who is on a 9-fight win streak in the UFC. Khamzat over there is on an 8-fight win streak in the UFC. He's never lost as a fighter, ever.
Wow.
They're both 31 years old. They're both very much in their primes. Dricus is a proven champion.
Mm-hmm.
But Khamzat is... I mean, as I said in the video this week, like, he's more dangerous than a feminist who's been told to keep quiet. Like,
never say that to a feminist.
You'll
become enraged.
That's what that guy is. He's an incredible wrestler. He's got a bigger frame than Dricus, as in he's taller, but Dricus is stronger and more sort of
You could almost say worse than a feminist who you've said, keep quiet, sweetheart.
Yes.
That's how angry.
Smile, darling.
Right, yeah.
You can say you're worse to a feminist.
You're much prettier when you smile, sweetheart. That kind of thing.
That's
you know?
The intensity of smoldering madness that Khamzat Chimaev will bring to this fight.
I mean, Dricus has got to be on form.
I did not walk around this one lightly.
Okay.
So you've got two unbeaten forces in the UFC, great track records. Dricus is very conscious of like Khamzat's threats. He's been very respectful about him in the press leading up to this one. But he's always got a plan, you know. Drickus is a complete professional. Like, he knows where his camp is because they've thought it out long term. Right. Every time he gets into a camp, he's incrementally better. Where I think the difference between him and a guy like Kamzat is that Kamzat isn't there yet. He's still fucking around with camps here and there and different people.
Hmm.
And I think there's still a novelty factor about him being in this championship territory.
Drickus was born a champion. He's like a wild animal.
He is a bit like that. He's a lot more feral. very interested to see how he goes in cutting weight, because he has missed weights in the past, which is a massive professional no-no.
Yes.
That's like getting onto a set of a porn set and lasting 3 seconds.
No, you got to last.
It's not what you're there for. Yeah. You've got to be better. You've got to be more professional. And I think everything just ties into this fight being a massive moment in the middleweight division. Drickus wins this. He's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time straight away. He'll potentially have an argument for the greatest pound-for-pound fighter right now in the UFC.
That's terrific.
If Kamzat wins this, then it's like almost like a new era of potential hype trains all coming together, finally getting a title.
Huh.
And the division itself, I mean, Drickus will probably get a rematch, but I don't even think it's worth talking about this stuff right now. It's just Drickus. He's going to win this fight. He's okay. Just everything about the trajectory of this guy, and yes, this will be his toughest fight ever, but everything about his trajectory to get to this point means that he's a true champion that will take on whatever challenge. And Drickus will know that this guy's great for the first couple of rounds. He's never fought a 5-round fight that's gone the distance.
Mm.
He's only fought these three-round fights, and even in the third round, he's tapered off. His second last fight against Kamaru Usman, who is a welterweight by trade, literally 10 days' notice, came off the couch, fought the Cirque, and he plateaued against him. So I know this guy's going to get better. He's going to get smarter. He's probably got more people who want to work with him who are smarter. But gas tank's a major consideration, and general composure. I don't care how dangerous you are, much like the feminists we spoke about.
Yes.
If you want to achieve something in life of real meaning, you've got to be composed. You can't just be all aggression, all effort. Yeah. And Drickus is so super smart.
He's discipline and no emotion.
Drickus is a literal fight genius.
Yeah.
You know, people want to give him the credit for that, and I've said it many, many times in the show. He thinks about things like Vili LaRue plot a backline.
Mm.
Drickus is like that for fighting times five. He's just, his mind's always working. He's super smart.
Like a chess player, actually.
He really is. Yeah. And, you know, as I said, he's 31 now. This will be his fourth title fight in the UFC. He's won the previous three. It's going to be an amazing
fight. How long can you keep going in UFC if you're getting on a bit?
It all depends on how you train, I think. Because it's one thing going into the fights, but the hardest part of the sport is how far you push yourself. If you're sparring all the time, getting hit all the time like Sean Strickland, you probably are going to shit in a bag by the time of like 40, 45. If you're someone like Max Holloway who doesn't believe in sparring, he's constantly just working through reps, he might have a longer sort of time to actually be present with his child. But I would say you shouldn't really go past 35.
Okay.
A lot of guys have to.
So you're talking me out of it.
Gareth, it'd be a tough start for you. It'd be a tough start for you to get back into it.
Damn it, Ben. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean,
guys, I had dreams and ambitions you've dashed against the rocks.
We'll find new ones. But, yeah, Sunday, UFC 319. I know the card will start at around sort of 4 a.m. with some fights you don't want to watch. That's in Chicago. Oh,
okay.
So just be ready, waiting, and salivating at 6 a.m. onwards, because this fight's going to be phenomenal. It's just going to be fucking incredible. The box play, 5 o'clock Saturday, and then as an added bonus, but wait, there's more. The Proteas are playing right now in a very intriguing T20 series against the Aussies,
right,
in Australia land.
Okay.
They played in Darwin the other day. It's 1-1. It's 1-1 because Divock Brevis just absolutely obliterated them with the bat. Soak's 22. He's just scoring runs. Obviously, he's the baby AB de Villiers guy, because AB spent some time with him.
Okay.
Very similar styles, and he is as dangerous as AB now as a batsman.
Huh.
It's a phenomenal thing to watch. Saturday, 11 o'clock, you'll be able to get that.
I just say AB was fucking good in that Legends thing, right?
AB's a one-of-a-kind.
He still got it. I mean, the guy has not played for a while. He's happily retired in all senses of sport.
He's a man in his
40s. And yet he got out there and he just made runs. Incredible.
It was almost
head and shoulders above everyone else.
It was almost unfair him playing against those older gents.
Yeah.
But then, saying that, those
he made them all look like octogenarians.
It's not like they were old crocs.
I mean, I was kind of hoping Pat Simcox would make a cameo
that
appearance.
Would be a different sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, all of that, plus the English Premier League starts and MTN8, a very big pivotal weekend for Orlando Pirates.
But now you're repeating yourself, so.
Just recapping about how fucking amazing this is.
Judas says, good to hear James is maturing and starting to build a life and perhaps a family.
Probably a good girl dad. I see James as girl dad.
Meeting the parents is a big step. Would be nice to hear if he gets hitched. Well, you know we're going to find out next week, right? So you got to wait until Friday. By the way, I mentioned this the other day. I've come up with a foolproof plan for people who are pissed off that we're going to one show a week. You take the Friday and you break it into half hours and you have one for every day of the week. And you even have a bonus for a Saturday. How's that? I'm giving you 6 shows if you just break it up into pieces. Don't you think that's clever, producers? Ah, smart, no. Right? Yeah, you got fucking brains. That's why I sit here.
Absence makes the heart grow more excited.
Yeah, right.
And fonder. Just get excited for Fridays, guys.
Nico has a very good sports-related question for you, Ben. He says, why can we not get a fight like this at 5 p.m.? It's so difficult to stay calm with a glass of water at 7.
True, Nico, but you could also pull the all-nighter, huh? I mean...
Oh, that's horrific, though.
I know it's horrific, but guys, these things don't come around a lot.
Sean, again, I don't know whether this is an insult or a compliment, Ben, but don't get all emotional. Sean says, Ben looks like he's ready to fight Drickus.
Yeah, I know I'm not living to fight Drickus, but fuck, I'm just so excited for the guy. Like, guys, there is nothing. Like, if you watch the press conferences, watch the weigh-ins, all that kind of stuff, nothing... Right. I mean, we all love the Springboks, right? When the MPs run out, all that kind of shit, the plane. But, guys, this is one man who is – he takes the country on his shoulders here. See, not that we ask him to.
I think of your show every time I watch the start of the rugby because old Sibu, the big guy who comes out and does the MP thing, he was one of your first guests.
Yeah, Norman, take that.
I remember that, yeah. What other shows I had him on? And Debbie has compliments for you. There's lots
coming in.
I mean, why not? Let's take some time to – relish the enormous support Ben has garnered for himself.
It's such a sport weekend, so let's get excited.
Debbie Furbank says, Ben, unfortunate surname, but anyway, I never used to be into sport of any kind before, but the way Ben talks about this really gets me into it. The whole year I've watched every match he's told us to, and I've enjoyed it.
Fun, yes, Debbie.
Wow, I mean... A resounding compliment. Yeah, that's
Debbie,
very
life,
kind. Debbie,
life definitely
you.
Gets better when you just get into sport. It's the best. And you know, we're so lucky. Like I went to an event this week and there was like the old legend Springboks. The guys have played 100 tests, right? And I look around and there's like this entire room of high net worth individuals, important people.
Yes, I saw you at that event. What was that?
So Peregrine Finance, they've got this thing that they've turned a million into 100 million. So they're the 100 makers. So they've got all the Centurion Box Centurions.
Right.
And they bring them in. And they had this most amazing panel discussion, Matt Pierce. And everyone in that room is hanging on every one of the words.
Hmm.
John de Villiers is great. Percy Montgomery was there. They wheeled him out of there from the Cape.
Oh, that's good.
Brian Abana...
You've got to do an interview with Percy at some point.
I'd love to get Percy in studio.
Percy is, I think he has the best stories.
I struggle. He might not be able to retell them, but he definitely does have the best stories. I'm not sure what cokes it out the best. 2 tequilas straight up, I don't know.
You can do whatever you want,
Ben. You'd
have
to interview Percy in Camps Bay. Because
maybe that's a good idea.
He would need a home game.
In his own environment. Yeah, that's good.
He would need a home game. Yeah, so these oaks were in a room, everyone loved them, and they're such nice people. They've got great stories, and you can see how excited people are.
Yeah.
I didn't go to any other events where you see excitement.
Do you have to
like
dress
that.
Up for this thing?
Yeah, people were dressed in suits.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. You know, that makes a difference. But people tend to behave better as well when they're in a suit.
Gareth, it's just it's a natural excitement, like Debbie's got there. It's a wonderful excitement.
Yes. Chase says, Ben is ready to put on a Deadpool suit.
I will. I don't know if I'll fit in. So speaking of suits, I've got tailored suits. I put this one on this week, and it was actually tight for the first time in my life.
Well, is that because of muscle, which most people have the fat problem, right? I put on a suit last night. I had to go to a thing. I had a suit on. I felt very comfortable. My shirt, it didn't feel fat around here.
Nice.
And
you've been working hard.
Two people who have obviously got they've got vision problems. They both said to me, "Well, you've lost some weight," and I thought, yeah, well, a kilogram, I suppose it counts, a kilogram or two, you know?
It's also how you've reshaped yourself as well. It's not just about the weight. It's about getting stronger.
But I look like a man instead of an adolescent girl.
Well done.
Which is good.
Yeah. But obviously, because I'm mostly bald now for a while.
Yes. Changes the way people respond to you, maybe?
Well, there is that.
Do they think you're a neo-Nazi?
Well, there is that. But where I was going with that is that I need a bit more on my face. So when I'm very lean, my face is very drawn out.
It's gaunt.
I've got quite a tall head.
Yes, we've discussed this on many opportunities on the show. So, but at least the shape of your head is not revolting. I think if I went bald, I would have a revolting shaped head.
So this winter, I've been basically experimenting with being slightly bigger.
Well,
my face look normal.
And really, the experimenting is going to continue for you through into next year, because soon we'll have hairstyles. I saw a guy yesterday, this event I was at. He had poofed up the hair. He had sort of a mohawk thing going, but he'd made it. He was fully, I would say, 40 centimeters taller, and suddenly very cocky because...
Did he have dark hair?
No, it's sort of lightish.
The guy at my gym, he's got a hairstyle like here.
Yeah, but it's so amazing how that extra hair gives a tremendous sense of overconfidence.
Well.
A wart oak, yeah. All right, then. We really, the comment section is alive and well today, and everybody is contributing enormously. So thank you all. You know, what do people say? Thank you for your service when someone's been in the military. And I feel often that the comment section's like going into war. Not all of us will be here at the end. Yeah. And people are full of it here. Love the sports sector on the show. On the Bounce is fucking cool. World-class guests. Actual insight across the sports spectrum. And the GCS is legendary. Thank guys. Well, Stevie, this kind of comment will get you mentioned once on the show because it's all just too good and not very funny. So well done on getting your mention this morning. This is the last time.
Yeah.
Guys, flag that guy for the next comment. All right.
But this is where the real network's at the moment. We've got great shows.
Love hiring. DDP, that's Dricus du Plessis.
Correct.
But Cumshot is what Gavin calls him. Takes it in the first, unfortunately. That's what he reckons will happen. I mean, a lot of sexual innuendo there in that comment. But you know what? Everyone has their reason to watch. Dricus is the PE of the MMA world. That's a terrible, nasty thing from Congo Chris. Congo Chris. What? He's underrated, underestimated, underappreciated, but when the pressure comes, he performs.
Okay, I see what you're saying there, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Only a two-hour show? What cuck is that? No, we're doing 3 hours from next week. And if I hear any more complaints about this, I'll cut it down. I swear to God, don't make me do it. I'll press the fucking button. I'm not scared of you. All right. Don't tune me, all right?
Don't tempt me.
Don't tempt me to do this. Okay, then a couple of things here. Slippery Pickle, so far, I think the comment of the morning, this is obviously in response to our talking about angry feminists and how that's not the way that you win. Slippery Pickle says, I almost got fucked up by lesbians for saying, don't be sorry, be careful. They're very aggressive when they're in heat.
Yeah.
Where was this? Builder's Warehouse? Where did this happen?
That lesbian Musk is...
Listen, I went to a hardware store the other day. It was too stereotypical. You know, I know Gayton is angry with some podcasters for stereotyping colored people. But I got to tell you, I've always been a tremendous supporter of the lesbians, but they kind of walked right into this one on, I think it was 2-3 weekends ago. Look, it was probably my mistake. You don't go there on a weekend.
Go to their habitat and say they walked into
no,
it.
No, I'm not criticizing. But I saw a couple walking together. All the stereotypes, like the kind of ankle boot type thing.
Sturdy, yeah.
Yeah, shorts, short boy's haircut. Quite something. They lived up to... If you landed here as an alien and you'd never seen or heard of lesbians before... That was all you needed to see in one go.
They always have that look when they're in shopping malls, like they're about to or have just flattened a Roman's pizza.
Yes. Particularly
it's a
Roman's
look
pizza. Yeah. In the blue box.
So there hasn't been a long sit down. It was like in and out, but like big quantity taken in, short period.
And there's a faint air of aggression.
Yeah. Well, that's what...
if you want to start something, they'll be happy to finish it.
Well, that's
and
the
they'll
thing
pick
with,
up tools, whatever's around.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you put so much synthetic, like high-energy stuff into your body, it tires you, but it makes you angry. So you're like that sort of troubled back and forth. There's a push and pull factor.
Oh, I want to compliment you myself, Ben, not just leave it to the comment section this morning. I watch your videos occasionally. Not always. Who has the time?
No one. Yeah.
You put out a lot of stuff. Try. What can I say? It's very difficult to keep up. But I saw that you said you start your day and this is your plan and you drink electrolytes and you do a... I'm taking your advice, you know? It's taken, what, 20 years of us knowing each other for me to actually take you seriously. But here I am.
Yeah, but that's because
admitting it.
That's because you're used to my voice. Like, we've known each other so long.
It's a bit of a noise.
I could tell you something life changing, and then like 20 years later, because I haven't made a video like that in years.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's something that's just like Percy Montgomery. You kind of have to shake
delayed.
Him sometimes to get a. probably under just hours and hours of just nonstop fucking droning from Ben. Maybe something eventually came through. Okay. Judas says, oh yes, I'm a straight woman and I'm super scared of lesbians.
Yeah.
The way they walk and dress, oh the horror. Now, you know, there's no need for us to be disparaging here, Judas, you know? Just because your name is almost the same as the guy who betrayed Christ doesn't mean you have to be horrible this morning. That's
yeah, but
just
it's nice to know that Judas has a place where she can feel safe to say that.
Well, I want to move on, and I want to release the lesbians from potential abuse by our audience this morning, because as you know, I'm a huge supporter of lesbians. But I do want to say that the most disgusting thing I think we've ever played on this show is about to come up, and it was passed on to me by Dave Levinson. Okay, so I want to give Dave both – I don't know if it's credit, probably blame.
You should never give Dave Levinson credit for anything in life.
He was on the show here with his friend Kurt Skunrat on Wednesday. Kurt's doing a show at Monte Casino, which I advise anyone
Kurt confirm such a status? Actually, his friend.
Well, he said he knows Dave. Okay. So anyway, they said to me after the show, and you know, I hate when people talk on the show and then we don't involve you. You're part of the whole conversation. If you listen to the show, I want you to be off the air and on the air part of the conversation with us. So Kurt says, oh my God, Dave, you've got to send Gareth that clip. And Dave goes like ashen-faced and he goes, I don't know if I should. So Kurt goes, no, you've got to send it. But Gareth, make sure you listen to it on your own when there's no one around. So I thought, don't know if I want to, what does it have to do with? Well, it was worse than even I expected. But because we're an open platform, and this is we don't know who this person is. Okay, we don't know who the person who recorded this is. We don't know for what purpose it was recorded. It might be fake, for all we know. But I want you to take this from whence it comes. In other words, Dave Levinson. I don't think he made it up. Someone sent it to him. You got that clip, guys?
Yeah.
All right, this is frightening. It's only a voice clip. There's no video. It's some... I don't know how to describe this person, and perhaps we should listen to it and then try to figure out what's going on here. It's very, very odd. It could have been recorded many years ago, but it's certainly about a memory someone had from a long time ago. So take a listen to this, and let's just analyze this, okay?
I remember we used to go down as a family to Eastern Beach. But I'm talking early 70s, mid 70s. It was lovely down there, but now that area is fucked. Anyway, the old lady, it was lovely. We'd go down, the old man at the old Fort Cortina, and us kiddies and the folks would jump in. And the old lady used to pack lovely food to have down there, a picnic. All the families would have picnics in those days down there. And we're talking the devil eggs. Fricatelles and lovely Grandola juice that the old lady would make. It was lovely. And then as a treat, she would pack in a lovely tin of the cool tin peaches and cream. That would be the pudding before we go for a swim and maybe go do a little bit of fishing with the old man. And I remember the one year the weather was beautiful. That was the year my brother fucked a dead penguin down there. We were walking along and my brother saw his nose pick up and I said, no. The folks were a little bit further in front of us. He said, what is that? I said to him, what is that? He looked back and he saw this fucking dead penguin. There where the aquarium is, there that like deck type of thing. There was this fucking thing underneath there, but it wasn't boily. It was like a green color. There was a little bit of green shit coming out of its arse already, but it was fine. He said, I want to screw this thing. I've never screwed something from the sea. A I've only obviously did my climbs and my fucking yogis, feral cats and all that shit. So I said, we'll get it done. But there weren't many people around, luckily. Chaps, we put his prick in and it did a very similar thing to that dead peak. As soon as it go in, it would come out and that air would release. So it would go in, out, in, out, in, out. Sounded like a fucking old bicycle pump that was fucked. The non-return valve was releasing air. Chaps, the smell. Oh God, people, that fucking dead pig has fuck all on that thing. Look, eventually he came in the fucking thing and he pulled it out, but I still said to him, you better go wash your prick, my boot. So he went down to the tidal pool and he washed his prick in the salt water. But it was red, it stayed red for a while. I think it had a bit of infection, I'm not sure. But anyway, he said it was one of his best crews. He said he probably came in the fucking thing maybe 4 times. Good God, people.
Oh my God. Wow. All right, so could be real. Who knows? I'd like to imagine that it isn't real. It would give me peace of mind.
I would like to imagine nothing again in my whole life.
I mean, feral cats, pigs, and now a dead penguin and the green stuff. And everything about this is so revolting.
The way he dispensed the sage advice, you better go wash your prick now.
Carl says, yes, Barry Hilton's really lost it. Christine says, related to a previous discussion, but it's worthy of a mention here, as a lesbian, your descriptions are spot on. Cease, penguin peel. Oh my God. Also, penguins smell bad when they're living. Never mind, says B. So I don't know if this is real or not, but I thought, you know what? We're an honest show. We let people know what's going on. This is what Dave Levinson listens to in his spare time. Voice notes from probably one of his best mates, for all we know. Right? Sounds like the kind of guy who knows Dave. So there we go. He said, be afraid, and what do? Listen to it on my own. What do? I play it for you. We hide nothing.
Nobody was ready for that.
No.
It went from tin peaches and creams to fucking a dead penguin.
That's exactly right. Is that the most crazy thing you've heard all week? Flex, Ketsy, what do you think? Do you think we've ruined the show in James's absence?
I think it's a perfect way to end the three-show.
Perfect way to end the three-show week cycle. Yeah, you're probably right. Because after this, who would want to listen for three shows a week? All right, the Cortina made a sharp turn, says Viasen, agreeing with you there. Limited edition says, I almost got beaten up by a lesbian for addressing her as ma'am. How do you address them? No. I think you're talking about transgenders. Different thing, right? So limited edition, what are you living in, 2008? We now have a whole new group of people who demand to... lesbians are not transgenders. You don't mix them up.
That guy's profile picture is with you.
Yeah, which is also disturbing because it looks like many years ago at some nightclub or something. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, listen, just learn the difference between the transgenders and the lesbians.
Oh, but if a lesbian is so masculine...
Yeah.
No, I think you can... I think you know. All right. Jason says, thank you, G. It made my day. It reminds me of the private eye from 5FM. I don't remember what you're talking about here, but okay. You know, it's just we do... Often you live in your own environment. You live with the people you already know. You think, I got a good grip on humanity. You hear a clip like that and you realize, no, there are people who live on the edge. On the edge of society and civilization, on the edge of decency. There are people like that. And you've got to remind yourself that you're going for a romantic stroll with your girlfriend down the beach and the guy who's walking towards you is looking to fuck a penguin.
I kind of feel like the way that that's delivered, that it's real. Because firstly, the accent.
Yeah, I think it's
real. That's someone who's seen hard times and seen rough things.
Yes. Yeah.
And the tempo of the story would suggest that they weren't trying to deliver a punchline. They were literally retelling.
And I think the fact that he said it happened in the 70s is a sure clue that it's probably real. Because that was also a really rough time, you know? You're going back now into the age of quite a lot of depravity. The 70s were not, by any stretch of the imagination, awesome and excellent all the time.
Wow.
So there we are. I mean, Why not start your Friday with something truly thought-provoking? People often say, oh, we need more political analysis. We need philosophy. We need to drill deep and have meaningful conversations. I say sometimes you need the guy who fucks a penguin. That's my philosophy for this morning.
Sorry, dead penguin.
The new trend is to shout sir in public and watch the reaction. That's common sense. I heard there was a trend. Let me just figure this out in my head because I heard about this trend the other day. There's this thing that the kids are doing now. It's some kind of attention-seeking thing where they also like run into a room and say stuff. All we need here is just a couple of those builder's warehouse lesbians to just like, as the kid comes in to scream and get attention, give them a clap.
Yeah,
everything. You can sort out two things. That she can get rid of the aggression. The kid can be put in its place. Everybody wins.
Clapped with a Roman's pizza box.
There we go. just clapped. Private Eye from 5FM was Sasha and Ian F. Okay, I don't know. I don't remember that.
Telling dodgy stories.
Yeah. Probably. And they were very good at that. I remember their show, but I don't remember what it was called there. 70s produced the best music. Chris trying to fight for the 70s here. Chris, sure. But in light of what you've just heard, does that not pale into comparison? I mean, any kind of comparison. Reality Shock from Rebellious Ruth. Wake up to the real world. People need to be in the present. If you can live like that, all will be good. Do you mean like the people in the clip we played? Is that what's the context for this, Ruth?
If it comes down to the definition of living in the present, fucking a dead penguin is pretty much up there. Because the guy is literally seizing the moment. He's not going to, like, yeah, I'll come back next week. It's like, he can't. That's the time. That dead penguin's not getting any less rancid.
I've never thought about dead penguins before, but I kind of feel sorry for them now. If there are people like this walking around, the indignity, really. You know? Anyway, I did think that we needed to start there. Now, let's get into some serious shit this morning, because we've got important stuff to discuss. I want to start off because someone said in the comment section there's a lot of noise and nonsense going down between the taxi industry and the e-hailing industry, which is like Ubers and
can you call the taxi industry, or is it a cartel?
Well, it is a cartel.
Terminology is important.
Look, chaos erupted at Maponya Mall this week. Tensions between taxis and e-hailing drivers boiled over. On Wednesday night, apparently, two assailants opened fire on ride-hailing services. That means drivers outside the mall. One was killed, another wounded. Both vehicles were set ablaze, prompting furious Soweto residents. Now, the Soweto residents, this is interesting, they took to defending the e-hailing services, right? So the furious Soweto residents blocked roads with rocks and barricaded the mall. Demanding safety, the community is calling for taxis to be barred from the premises and for immediate action from both mall management and the authorities. Emotions are high. Police are investigating. Maponya Mall, the heart of Soweto, remains ominously closed. So interesting that the people of Soweto decided, the people who shop at that mall, fine, you're going to shoot and burn our e-hailing drivers. We're going to close down your mall.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that because, I mean, taxi drivers have had their own law. They are their own law.
They do. Yeah,
but e-hailing is great because firstly, people can actually be e-hailing operators. That's employment.
You can see when your car's coming. You know what you're being charged.
But sometimes you want to have your own space. Now, the taxi industry is saying no. You always have to be in a shitty taxi.
No, you must get into our sardine tin, and you must be squeezed
people
in.
People deserve choice.
They must be treated badly.
They make their own money. They work hard. They do whatever. They must be allowed to do that.
Mm.
It's very disparaging to think that, no, because you're here in Soweto, you must only be in a taxi.
I think I'm with the residents of Soweto pissed off here. And I do, I mean, I've stood up for the taxi industry on occasion because they are a kind of law unto themselves, but they also, I'll never forget during those riots how they came to the protection and service of ordinary South Africans. They stood up for citizens.
No doubt.
Against a rampaging mob. So, you know, again, you say that you're with the mob this time, you're not with the mob the previous time. This is the problem with mobs is they're completely
but like mobs
devoid of any general intelligence.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So you can find sometimes the mob is on your side, and then you think, oh, well, not a bad mob. But I'm always, I've said this before on the show a million times, I think in a previous life, if there is such a thing, I was attacked by a mob. I just detest a mob. I can't stand a mob.
Well, they can't be trusted. They're very predictable.
Bad thing. Groupthink and...
But we just got to understand that we must embrace diversity in every single thing. There's diversity in transport as well.
You need it.
You need this choices. Kind of stuff. It's choices. Not going to put taxis out of business. E-hailers can only pick up so many people, right? It's a very small kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to suddenly just take your lunch. The majority of people can only afford taxis. It's reality. They'll use taxis. It's reality.
Sure.
If 100 people a day want to use e-hailing thing, let them.
Yeah. And frankly, I think transport in this country is so expensive. There are people who spend almost half of what they earn in a month just getting to and from work, which is ludicrous.
Ridiculous.
And I know that for many people, they don't have a choice. And that is the fault of our government, that they've never put good public service in place. We don't have trains anymore. So you can't use trains to get into towns. And I think this is the only option people have. So they don't use taxis because they want to. Anyway, so that's something important. Let's just talk about New Zealand. You mentioned them in the sport earlier. They seem to have made the news. Apparently, a minister from the Israeli government has hit out against the New Zealand government. So I'm going to read her statement here quickly.
Well, this all comes in the back of Australia recognizing Palestine as a state.
That's right. That's right.
The New Zealand prime minister person.
He's a guy called Luxon.
Yeah, he's having a go at the fact.
Mr. Luxon.
He's having a go at the fact that, you know, it's so frustrating what's happening to the people.
Is he the guy who took over from Jacinda Ardern? Must be.
I think there was a guy even in between that.
Oh, right. Because are they like Australia, they're where they new prime minister every
simps.
Couple? Right.
Super simps.
Yeah, yeah. New Zealand is probably Canada's up there too. But I'd say New Zealand, I'd say Keir Starmer in Britain, we spoke about him. You've got to give him an honorable or dishonorable mention when it comes to being simpy. You got all these kind of pasty, performative actor type politicians.
Plants. Industry plants.
Yeah,
plants.
These are not leaders by any stretch of the imagination. I think they tick boxes for some HR department and then they get pushed into the role. And I mean, these are not strong guys at all. These are the kind of guys, ladies, who would say, if they would never offer to take you out for dinner. You'd have to say to them, can we go out for dinner? And then they'd say to you, sure, darling, where would you like to go? And then you'd spend half an hour ruminating about potential outcomes. And it would never happen. You'd never end up going out for dinner because these guys cannot be trusted to make a decision.
Yeah, you would never fuck because he'd be still asking about positions and...
Yeah, terrible people.
All these things.
These are the kind of men no one on earth asked for.
So, I mean, he's one of those guys that I believe, like, these memos go out around the world. Okay, guys, you must be inflamed about this. You must protest this. You must emphatically support this.
Right.
And I think he's one of those guys who just gets that memo and goes, right, guys, New Zealand is really upset about Gaza.
Yeah, I mean, you could not be further from Gaza than in New Zealand. No one in Gaza could point to New Zealand on a map, and probably vice versa. Anyway, so somebody then asks him to comment on this, and he says something about, well, we're going to support Gaza, but in a New Zealand accent, which is much worse.
International community is very frustrated by this, we as international community.
Stop the killing, you know, that kind of thing.
All this stuff, yeah.
People who aren't involved in this in any way, just strong-arming, like Greta Thunberg, their way into it for relevance. So the Israeli's deputy minister of foreign affairs replies to him like this. She goes, I'm not going to do the Israeli accent because I can't really do it properly, but I guess when you don't need an army because your most deadly enemy is a possum or cat, you wouldn't comprehend the challenges that come with facing Hamas, a jihadist death cult only a few kilometers away from your country that rape, execute, burn alive, and starve your people, she wrote on social media. And I like that.
Mm.
That's strong.
It's cutting. Yeah, again.
A possum or a cat.
I think in this conversation, it's not about what's happening in Gaza per se right now. I think it's countries that just get on with their own shit. If you feel so strongly about something, which is fine, it's great, then call up the UN or whoever it is and say, okay, right, I'm coming to Gaza. What can I do?
Right.
How can I
get
help?
Involved.
What can I do? If you're another country, shut your mouth. Tend to your residents, your citizens, yeah. Make your country function and all that kind of stuff. Be the example you want the rest of the world to be.
You're asking too much. I wouldn't even expect that of the kind of people who get upset about this stuff. How about just tidying up outside your own front door? That would be a great start. How about cleaning the fucking takeaway packets out of your car?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you that the people who are, they're trying to project their I'm a good person stuff.
All it comes down
so
to.
Far away. Because their own life is just in disorder and chaos. So if you can prove to me that you don't live in your own ordure, that you have a clean environment around you, that you actually put your clothes in the washing, that you wash them, that your bed isn't smeared in, I don't know, applesauce or something, that your car isn't caked in sugary drink, then I'll take you seriously. I think in future, anyone who protests, we need to see the inside of their car, the inside of their bed, their dwelling. We need to know what kind of circumstances these people live in. And then if it's tidy and it seems in order, we'll tolerate you. We'll treat you seriously.
It's like the woman
listen
on the,
to you.
Like that woman on the show last week so eloquently put it in Australia.
Mm.
It's like sort things out in your own fucking country.
Right. That they, and just, she, have you got she, that clip of that woman again?
She was very inflamed, I think, for the right reasons.
That Aboriginal woman from Australia who had quite a lot to say last week. I admire her energy as well.
She sums up the situation really well. At no stage is she making light of the situation in Gaza, but she's bringing home what really matters in her world.
Yes.
And I think so many people, it's just noise. They outsource all this shit like, oh yeah, Gaza, Gaza. Then go fucking do something about it.
Right.
Don't ruin people's lives here who may or may not care. Like, that's also
I've
a choice there.
About her. Flex, you want me to send you that again? Okay. Just in case they didn't. Because, you know, she did. I do think it's worth replaying.
I think she sums it up. And I think this could go to the New Zealand
this
Prime Minister.
This is the leader that places like Australia and New Zealand, these, as you call them, simp countries. This is what they need.
Yeah.
They need more of this woman that I'll show you now.
Stop fixating on diplomacy and narratives.
Correct.
And get to the heart of people's masses.
Okay, I found her. Okay, and Flex, I also sent you a picture of King Charles. This is an actual news headline from somewhere in Britain. Again, it seems to me like a lot of these countries, they're so busy worrying about everywhere else in the world. They're not tending to their own stuff. For example, here's King Charles. This is the headline. You got it? Yeah, King Charles has diarrhea.
Happens.
Look, I mean, look at it. He's even embarrassed to be in that picture. I mean, what a thing to
it's
say.
It's quite a diarrhea face. Also, a very bold suit color for a man that's got a leaky bum. I probably would have gone with something of a darker shade personally.
So I got to ask, that's a very low-rent headline.
Is it even a headline? I can make that on Instagram. Is that where's that from?
I don't know, Ben. It was posted by somebody of... I don't follow bullshit people on X... Follow serious journalists.
That looks like fake news. I mean, you I would obviously say King Charles has diarrhea. Obviously. He's a vegan. He's old. Camilla's probably like roofying him. I wouldn't trust his bowels on a long road trip, granted. But that doesn't look like a real news story.
Okay. So we'll do it. You know what? In the interests of us maintaining our credibility as a serious news organization, I think we'll just pretend that that didn't happen then. We'll disregard it as being fake news.
Cool. That's what we're here for, balance.
King Charles has diarrhea. That's an actual headline to some people, not to look at that. It's unbelievable.
Gosh, I can't remember the last time I ever had diarrhea. I've got to say, it must be a horrible thing, especially on a weekend. Can't go anywhere because you can't trust your arsehole.